Can I give you all, again, a warm welcome to this Gospel meeting. Thank you very much for taking the time to be with us. And as Nigel said, we have this evening, tomorrow and Thursday, God willing, of these meetings. Now, for those who've been here in the past, you'll know that we've been looking at the Lord Jesus in a different way each night. And tonight we're going to think of him as the shepherd. And so there are three scriptures or three passages we're going to read together. First of all, in John chapter 10, the Gospel by John, and reading in chapter 10. And we're going to read at verse 11. And the Lord Jesus is speaking, and he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Now back to the Gospel by Luke, please. The Gospel by Luke in chapter 15. Now we're just going to read the last clause of the last verse of chapter 14. And there the Lord Jesus says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Now one final reading in the Old Testament, in the book of the Psalms, and Psalm 23. This is a very well-known psalm, and it is a psalm of David, we are told in the title. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Now we do know that the Lord will bless this reading from the scriptures, and we trust we will have help as we think about these verses. There are really three thoughts that I want to leave with you this evening. From John chapter 10, we're going to think about the shepherd and his sacrifice. And in John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus gives to us a remarkable insight into his death at Calvary. And he speaks on three occasions in the passage that we've read about his death, and he speaks about it in a slightly different way on each occasion. And we're going to think about that in a few moments. And then from Luke chapter 15, we're going to think about the shepherd and his search. And we find that the Lord Jesus, in this parable, he's speaking really of himself. He speaks of a shepherd who goes after one sheep out of 100. And what he is seeking to impress upon us is this, that God values each one of us. It was just one sheep, but although that might have not appealed to many, the Lord Jesus is stressing the value of one sinner that repents. And dear soul in the meeting, we want to assure you, though you might not feel important in the grand scheme of things in this world, you are important with God. Your life, your soul, your destiny, you matter. And we want to think about the shepherd and his search. And finally, we may say a little bit, if we have time, about Psalm 23. And we're going to think about the shepherd and his sheep, because there the whole thing becomes very personal. And David is able to say, as many in this meeting room can say, the Lord is my shepherd. And that's really where we need to come to. We need to come to know the Lord Jesus in a personal way. He is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. But he is also, it is also vital that he comes and becomes my shepherd, the one in whom I am trusting. Now clearly, when we think about the Lord Jesus as a shepherd, he is thinking about men and women as sheep. Now, I hope that doesn't offend you to speak in those terms. That's how the Bible speaks. And when Isaiah the prophet wrote in Isaiah chapter 53, he reminds us, or the nation of Israel speaking in these terms, reminds us that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the prophet goes on, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so we are viewed by the word of God, and we are viewed by God himself as sheep who have gone astray. We're not on the right path. We're not in the right place. Our brother Nigel has reminded us that we're all sinners in the sight of God. And that sin has separated us from God. And that sin has defiled us. And that sin will incur God's judgment and an eternal separation from God unless it is dealt with, unless it is we are forgiven. And it's not simply an accidental thing. Isaiah says, we have turned everyone, each one, to his own way. And the problem is this, that we think we know best. And we want to do our own thing. And we want our own way. And dear friend, that is completely contrary to the mind of God. God wants us to do his will. God wants us to walk in the pathway that the psalmist spoke about in Psalm 23, that path of righteousness. But sadly today, we if we're not in not saved, if we don't know the Lord Jesus as our shepherd, then we're astray. We're just like the sheep of Luke 15. We're lost, and we need a shepherd to find us. And so let's begin our consideration with these very well-known verses in John chapter 10. The Lord Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And the first thing we want to think about is the greatness of the shepherd. You see, it's no ordinary shepherd here. The Lord Jesus says, I am. And as you read the Bible, you learn that this is, although it's just two very simple words, it is actually a title of God. It is a name of deity. It is the great name of Jehovah, the I am of eternity. And when the Lord Jesus says, I am, he is claiming deity. Of course, that was true. We've learned this week that he's the Son of God. He's the one to whom God addresses in Hebrews chapter 1, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And he is the great I am. My dear friend, you could have no greater shepherd. And he has all the ability and power and resources of deity. Power that is transcendent. Glory that goes beyond our understanding. He is the great I am. Dear friend, you could have no greater shepherd. I could have no greater shepherd. And he says here, I am the good shepherd. Now, when you think about that expression, if I was to use it in everyday language, if I was to use it in an everyday context, and suppose we went to a farm and we saw the sheep and we say, well, there's a man who is a good shepherd. What we would understand by that is this, that shepherd was good at shepherding. He had a good knowledge of his sheep. He cared for the sheep. He fed the sheep. He watched out for the sheep. He was good at shepherding. And there is a sense, of course, a very real sense, that is the sense of the verse in regard to the Lord Jesus. We could find no better shepherd. There is no one who would care for us more than Christ does. There is no one who would watch over us more than Christ will. There is none who could feed us spiritually more than he will. He is the good shepherd in that sense. But really, we have to see it in the context of the verse. And the context of the verse is this: the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And the Lord Jesus points our attention to Calvary. And he says, there is a demonstration that I am the good shepherd. And there at Calvary is the supreme act of goodness. You might not think of Calvary in that way. You might see it only in terms of the shame and the suffering. But there at Calvary, the Lord Jesus, as the good shepherd, was carrying out the greatest work of goodness that this universe has ever witnessed, when he willingly laid down his life for the sheep. And we come to Calvary again, and we understand from the words of the Lord Jesus why he was laying down his life. He said it's for the sheep. It's for men and women and boys and girls. The Lord Jesus, the great I am of eternity, the great God of eternity, was willing to lay down his life for us. Now that is an amazing thing. I hope we never lose the wonder of it, and we trust that you will be struck by the wonder of it. That God has been so interested in us and desiring that we should be found and that we might be blessed with salvation, that his dear Son was come and willingly laid down his life. And yet it reminds us of the great cost of salvation. It wasn't enough for the Lord Jesus to come down from heaven. It wasn't enough that he should live that perfect life that he did on earth. It was absolutely crucial that he would go to the cross and willingly, voluntarily, lay down his life for the sheep. And so the Lord Jesus gives us this insight, this understanding of the purpose of his death. But then in verse number 14, he speaks about his death again. And he says in verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. You see, he is all-knowing. He is omniscient. But then he says in verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. Now, these are deep and profound things. What the Lord Jesus is telling us is that in the Godhead there is a shared knowledge. The Father knows the Son, and the Son knows the Father perfectly, completely, absolutely. You see, this is a demonstration of the fact that he is in equality. He is a divine person, one of the Godhead. And then he says, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I wonder what the Lord Jesus is seeking to convey to us this evening. You see, if you know somebody very well, if you have perhaps maybe in the family circle or a husband or wife, and you've lived with somebody for a long time, you know them. And you know what they think without them saying it. You know what they feel. And they don't have to express a word. You see, There's no word from the Father in this verse commanding the Son to give his life. The Son knows the Father. He knows the Father's mind. He knows the Father's will. He knows the Father's desires. And conversely, the Father knows the devotion of his Son. And he knows the willingness of his Son to come and lay down his life. And in the wonder of that mutual knowledge in the Godhead, the Lord Jesus comes. And he says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Yes, in verse number 18, he speaks about a commandment. But here, he knows what his Father wants. He knows that it is his Father's desire that men and women might be saved. And willingly he comes. And he lays down his life for the sheep. But then in verses 17 and 18, the Lord Jesus gives to us a remarkable description of what took place at Calvary. And he says in verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. Now we learned that the Son of God, we learned it on Sunday, that the Son of God has eternally been loved by his Father. The Lord Jesus spoke about it in John 17, and he said, thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. But as we look at the cross, it wasn't only a demonstration of God's love to the world. The Father loves his Son because of Calvary, because of his obedience, because of his devotion, because he has laid down his life for the sheep. The Father loves him. You know, as men stood around that cross, the Bible says they watched him. They watched him. They weren't watching him in affection. They weren't watching him in love. They hated him. The Lord Jesus had to say, they hated me without a cause. But when the Father looked upon that scene, his heart was moved towards his Son. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. Dear friend, as you look at the cross this evening, I wonder what feelings fill your heart. I wonder if you're indifferent to it. The suffering, the shame, the agony of what the Lord Jesus endured that we might escape the judgment we deserve in hell and the lake of fire. I wonder how you view that sacrifice this evening. Do you see it with the same affection? Do you love him because he gave himself on the cross for you? You think, we think about, we quoted it, I think, yesterday, the words of the Apostle Paul, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And Paul loved the Lord Jesus because he recognized that he was the object of divine love. But here we learn something remarkable. The Lord Jesus laid down his life that he might show his unique power in taking his life again. Now that's a remarkable thing. The Lord Jesus says, I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. You see, as you read the Bible, you read of individuals who were raised from the dead, but they could not raise themselves from the dead. And so in John chapter 11, we come to that tomb outside Bethany, and Lazarus had been dead 4 days. He could not raise himself. But my dear friend, our Lord Jesus Christ is altogether different. He had the power to lay down his life, and he had the power to take it again. Our Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely unique. And yes, at Calvary, he did lay down his life. And he gave up his life for the sheep at Calvary. But he's taken it again. And we present to you this evening a Saviour who is alive. Why is he able to save you? Because he's living. And he's powerful. He's the one with the authority to take his life again. And that he did on the third day. The Christian gospel is a gospel that is founded on the resurrection of Christ. Christ rose bodily from the tomb. If he didn't, I've been wasting my time these weeks. And there is no point in having a meeting. But Christ is risen from the dead. He is alive. And he is the one who presents himself in these scriptures as the good shepherd. My dear friend, we commend him to you, that he might be your shepherd. That you might, like David, be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. And you'll be able to say the other words that David spoke. I shall not want, and so forth. But let's think secondly about the shepherd and his search. And what we want to think about is, first of all, the shepherd's call. We read the words at the end of chapter 14. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, we all have ears, but I wonder whether you're listening to the voice of Christ. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know, it's really important that we listen to God. And it's not only important that we listen to God, but it's very important that we believe what God tells us. And we don't resist what God says. In the Epistle to the Hebrews, the Holy Spirit gives this warning. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. What that means is this, that you resist the claims that the Spirit of God is pressing upon you, convincing you that you're a sinner, that you need the Saviour, that you need the shepherd. And here is the call of the shepherd. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 5, he that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And so we find in this parable the Lord Jesus taught that it was in response to the murmuring of the scribes and Pharisees, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. You see, the people who responded to that call in verse 1 of chapter 15 were the publicans and the sinners. They came to hear him. Now, we're delighted you've come to hear the word of God this evening. We would be even more thrilled if you believed. That's really the purpose of our gatherings, that you might come to faith in Christ. And here the publicans and the sinners, they came to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. And these religious skeptics, they murmured and they say, this man receives sinners and eateth with them. And they were absolutely correct. And we want to say to you, the Lord Jesus still receives sinners. And as it were, with open arms, he would say to you, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We have a Saviour who still receives sinners. But we need to receive him as well. And so John writes, to as many as received him, to them gave he the authority to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so the Lord Jesus tells this parable. And he speaks about one sheep that is lost. Now, we've stressed this a number of times in these meetings, and let us stress it again. The Lord Jesus speaks in verse 7, I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And it is the value of one. The value of the individual. Now, that's not to say the Lord Jesus can't save multitudes. He has saved multitudes. And when this gospel was first preached on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were saved. The Lord Jesus can save multitudes, but he saves them one by one. And dear soul in the meeting, if you're still unsaved, you can be that sinner that is found. You can be that sinner that finds the shepherd. One sinner that repenteth. And this is now the point we need to get to. We need to repent. It's one sinner that repents. And you say, what does this mean? It means, my dear friend, amongst other things, that we need to change our mind. Repentance, at its core meaning, is a change of mind. And you say, a change of mind about what? Well, you need to change your mind about yourself. And you need to see yourself as God sees you. You need to see yourself as the lost sheep. You need to see yourself as the guilty sinner. You need to see yourself as the one who is at a distance from God. In other words, you need to accept God's verdict about you. He loves you. There is no doubt. We've had that verse quoted to us, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." But he doesn't love your sin. And he doesn't love the way you're living. And he desires your best future. But we need to repent. We need to change our minds about ourselves. And rather than standing on our dignity and thinking we're better than ever people, we need to see ourselves just as that publican did. When he smote his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." You say he wasn't the only sinner. No, he wasn't. But that's how he felt. And we need to change our minds about ourselves. And we need to be prepared to leave those sins behind. But we also need to change our mind about God and about Christ. Maybe to this point you thought very little about the Lord Jesus. And the Word of God has had very little real place or impact in your life. You need to change your mind about that. And you need to come to understand that God is a holy God. Ah, yes, we love to think about a God who is love, but God is also light. And his holiness is undiminished. And God will never move contrary to that. And we need to understand that the God we deal with is a God of holiness, a God of righteousness, a God who hates sin. And a God who will not allow sin in his presence. And we need to change our mind about Christ. And we need to see him as the Saviour that the Father has provided. The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. We need to see him as the Shepherd, the Good Shepherd, who has laid down his life for the sheep. And so we are called upon to repent. And dear friend, this is what God requires of all of us. When Paul preached in Athens in Acts 17, or the message is recorded in Acts 17, we learn this, that God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And the goodness of God leads us to repentance. The very fact, dear friend, that you have been allowed to come to this gospel meeting, the very fact that you have the health and strength and the soundness of mind to sit and listen to the Word of God is an expression of his goodness. And where is that goodness leading you? The goodness of God leads you to repentance. My dear friend, don't despise his goodness. Don't take it for granted. And here we find the Lord Jesus impresses upon us the value of an individual. An individual sinner that repents. But you'll notice in our story, in the parable the Lord Jesus told, that this sheep was lost. It was lost. It was in danger. It was lost. And the other sheep didn't care about it. The other sheep didn't all follow and find the sheep that was lost. No, it was the shepherd who did that. And it is our Lord Jesus Christ, as it were, who comes after the sheep that is lost. We spoke last week about a seeking Saviour. And we thought about an example of that when we thought about Zacchaeus, how the Lord Jesus sought him, came to where he was. And so the Lord Jesus does here. He is the seeking shepherd. But we want to focus on what he did when he found it. He layeth it on his own shoulder. His own shoulders, rather, rejoicing. In other words, he takes responsibility for the safety of the sheep. I wonder if you're concerned about your safety. I'm speaking about your eternal safety and your eternal security. Where are you going to spend eternity? Heaven or hell? It's as stark as that. The Lord Jesus lays this sheep upon his shoulder. And what shoulders they are. What security. What safety. When the Lord Jesus spoke in John chapter John chapter 10, he spoke about the fact that his sheep are in his hand. But in Luke chapter 15, this sheep is on his shoulder. And the Lord Jesus wants you to have security. And he wants you to have assurance that you're safe for eternity. He wants you to have the peace of knowing that your sins are forgiven, that you're no longer under condemnation, that you're right with God, and that your home will be heaven. You say, these are big things. So they are. These are the biggest things. These are the most important things. Bigger than anything else. More important than everything else. And here is one sheep that finds a place of safety, a place of refuge, a place of security on the shoulders of the shepherd. You see, that is a wonderful picture of what faith is. You see, all the weight of that sheep was on his shoulders. This sheep was resting entirely on him, the shepherd. That's what faith is. Resting our all on Christ. Not trying to make our own way home. Not trying to support ourselves, but just resting on him. That's the kind of language the Bible uses. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And here we find the sheep resting on the shoulder of the shepherd. And then we find that we have the joy of the shepherd. And this is an amazing thing, isn't it? He says in verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. That is incredible, isn't it? What does that mean? It means that if you, dear sinner, were to repent tonight and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that act of faith would have an effect in heaven. And there would be joy in heaven. The Father would have joy. The Son would rejoice. And that joy would be spread amongst the angels themselves. Joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. But my dear friend, you would have joy too. When Zacchaeus came down, he received the Lord Jesus joyfully. Not some kind of frivolous, superficial happiness, but a joy knowing that you're right with God. You don't deserve it. None of us do. It's all of his grace. But the Lord Jesus wants us to come to know him as the shepherd and to have that security that only he can provide. Now let's close just with this thought from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Now Mary in Luke chapter 1, in that lovely song song of praise that she expresses, or that prayer that she expresses, she says this: My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. Now, dear soul, this evening, could you say that? Many of us in this meeting room have had that experience, and we can, as it were, speak with regard to the Lord Jesus and say, my Saviour, my Saviour. And like David, we can say, my shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. These are real things. Personal experience of Christ. And you notice David says, the Lord is presently my shepherd. You see, Christianity is all about relationship with God. A real relationship. Knowing God as our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour and Shepherd. And it's a present thing. But it's also an eternal thing. It goes on into eternity. And so we bring our little message to a close this evening as we think about the one, the Lord Jesus, and his sacrifice. What a sacrifice that has made salvation available to each of us. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he's not dead now. He's alive again. He took his life again on the third day. And now he lives in heaven. And we think about the shepherd and his search. And the place of security that you can have. But we need to make it our own. We need to be the sinner that repents. And the sinner that places our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that, like David, we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Shall we pray?